Good morning again. I'm going to be talking today about the research that I did in Chile, working with the Peruvian community, specifically living in the capital of Santiago. I have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to briefly review the background and aims of my study, the methods and participants, and then I'm going to try to spend most of my time on the results and discussion and next steps. So the Peruvian immigrant community in Santiago and in the country as a whole has grown exponentially over the past three decades, and the Peruvian community now represents the largest group of immigrants in Chile, which historically was not at all true. Peruvians now represent more than 100,000 residents of Chile, which amounts to more than 30% of the total immigrant population. Carolina Stefoni Espinosa has been the most prolific researcher and author on this population during the time period, but her work has focused primarily on the social integration of Peruvians into Chilean society. But she has highlighted in her work that the legal immigration framework in Chile, which dates to the Pinochet regime in the 1970s, was not designed for the current immigrant population, and therefore it lacks the measures and that would protect the rights of immigrants and foster their successful integration into Chilean society. There is, however, a marked gap in our knowledge about the health of the Peruvian community in Chile, in large part because it is such a new and growing population. So I was living and studying in Santiago from 2012 to 2013. My data collection was done in August of 2013. And while I was there, I interned with a nonprofit that works with immigrants, and that's where I got kind of my basis of knowledge. Speaking with health professionals and with people at the nonprofit, I identified a real gap in the knowledge about the health of the population. There were a lot of supports coming from the nonprofit around legal and employment issues, but there was not a lot being done around health. And since that was my particular issue, or interest rather, I decided I would explore it. So the principal aim was to identify the principal factors shaping the health and healthcare access of the Peruvian immigrant population in Santiago, and also to describe how the legal and policy context and the social and labor integration of the immigrants influence their health risks and access to healthcare. I conducted 8 interviews with Peruvian labor migrants using convenes and snowball sampling, and 6 key informant interviews using purposive sampling. All the interviews were conducted in Spanish by myself. As you can see, my key informants represented a range of government and nonprofit perspectives and included individuals of different nationalities and academic backgrounds. My migrant participants had an even gender split, but were using different kinds of visas, including permanent and visa subject to contract, and 2 had irregular status. They also had a range of educational attainment, but all had at least finished high school. It was a very small sample, but it actually is pretty representative of the Peruvian immigrant population in Santiago in terms of the gender and the diversity in educational attainment. The major themes that emerged from the data were a context of scarce resources, a discriminatory social environment, the existence of policy cracks relevant to the Peruvian immigrants, and disinformation across sectors around the policies that do exist. The first theme that emerged was that Peruvian immigrants are arriving in Santiago in a context of scarce resources, especially in the context of affordable housing and the public healthcare system. The dearth of affordable housing has produced a market in which many Peruvians sublet rooms in old houses and tenements, many of which are dilapidated and of poor sanitation, both due to the structures themselves and to the overcrowding. You can see a social worker here said, they live in houses, sometimes that do not have the structural conditions for so many people. Many families in one house. They were old houses of upper middle class Chileans, so they have a lot of rooms, but only one bathroom and one kitchen. So all the families share one bathroom, 2 bathrooms, and that generates, obviously, hygienic problems and can also generate health problems in the kids. The public healthcare system is also under strain to meet the demands of the population. Although Peruvians with regular legal status are actually entitled to all healthcare services, the lack of personnel and facilities, especially in central and low socioeconomic neighborhoods, means that Peruvians and Chileans alike are often not able to access care or experience a low quality of care. One nurse said of her Chilean clients, They say, here come 10 appointments and the 10 patients are Peruvians. And the Chileans complain, but it is not the fault of the Peruvians. First, it is the fault of the system, because you shouldn't just attend 10, you should attend everyone. So in addition to the lack of access, we're also seeing social tensions between the two groups who are competing for the same scarce resources. Historical political conflict between Chile and Peru, most recently a dispute over a treaty determining entitlement to coastal waters, as well as ongoing racism and classism prevalent in Chilean society, result in discrimination against Peruvians, manifested most clearly in landlords' refusal to rent to Peruvian families. This creates a further barrier for Peruvians to access adequate housing, among other private services. As I noted earlier, the current policy framework for immigration in Chile is extremely outdated. There is no labor visa category for new immigrants that does not constrict an immigrant to a specific employer. A social worker described, the visa subject to contract is a type of visa that generates a lot of difficulties for immigrants to regular lives, and its existence is not very beneficial to employers either, because many times the same employer is harmed because of it, because he is charged fines because he hired a foreigner who had a contract with another employer. So the visa is only valid as long as the immigrant is employed with that same employer. It also happens that officials at the Chilean border, especially in the north, due to either poor information or oversight, administer the wrong type of visa to immigrants, specifically a special visa meant for indigenous peoples spending a short time on the Chilean side of the border. And so the immigrants who are issued this visa continue down to Santiago, and they quickly become irregular since the visa is only valid for 7 days, and they have no legal recourse to regularize their status. The lack of information on the current policies is present among bureaucrats, employers, and service providers, as well as the immigrants, which creates a cycle in which misinformation is perpetuated and policies and protocols are not implemented consistently. So what now? This study was meant to be exploratory, in large part because there is such a dearth of data available on the population. More research is really essential to a deeper understanding of the health needs and threats of Peruvian immigrants in Chile. Another thing I'd just like to mention quickly, a theme that I did not get to explore but would really like to, is maternal health in Peruvians in Chile, especially because a lot of the women who are immigrating are of reproductive age. But there's a large stigma against those women. Talking to the nurses in Chile, they were saying, oh yeah, all these Peruvians are just getting pregnant, trying to use all our resources. But it really makes sense, right, if we have a population of reproductive age women who are immigrating. It's very likely that these women actually are just planning their families and wanting to have kids. And it may not be as, they may not have as malicious of intentions as the Chileans believe them to. So there is actually a bill that has been introduced in the Chilean Congress on immigration reform, but has not yet come up for a vote. So the future of the bill is yet to be seen, depending on the political context and priority in the next few years. But a few of the measures included in this bill are to eliminate the visa subject to contract and replace it with a more comprehensive labor visa. Secondly, to create a system for equivalent foreign educational degree validation and recognition, which would allow Peruvians as well as other immigrants from Argentina, Colombia, to then actually access employment that is consistent with their educational attainment, which at the moment is not possible. And lastly, to create and improve systems for oversight of consistent policy implementation at the border. In addition to the measures proposed by the bill, I have identified some policy recommendations based on the themes that emerged. First, systematic distribution of information on the rights and responsibilities of immigrants to both public servants as well as immigrants who are entering the country. Secondly, proactive monitoring of residential facilities for safety, sanitation, and legal leasing practices. We have seen that responding to the issues when they become so extreme that you can no longer ignore them is not an effective way to ensure the well-being of residents and communities. Because when an apartment is shut down, the residents often move to a place that is similar or worse in condition. And along the same lines, the development and investment in affordable housing in the city is also essential and will benefit both immigrants as well as Chileans. And lastly, it's really important to reassess and adjust the current public healthcare system. This may include an increased capacity, but at the very least, reallocation of resources to address the limited capacity in the areas of highest need. An examination of the system will also likely involve a contemplation of the future of the private healthcare system, which right now employs more than half of the physicians in the country, but serves only about 18% of the population. So clearly the resources aren't being allocated where they're most needed. So I'd just like to thank my advisors, informants, and funders. I'm happy to take questions. I do have a handout that I'll just leave on the table when I'm finished. Any questions? I answered all your questions, huh? I said everything I could possibly say, okay.
What's your next step?
So I'm in school. I don't have the research capacity to continue this project. Like I said, I'm particularly interested in maternal health.
Okay.
So I am hoping when I graduate to start thinking about maternal health in Chile, especially in the immigrant and also the indigenous populations there. But this is work that I'm hoping maybe some of you in the audience will take up. It's a very exciting time to be working with this population because it is so new, and I think also one thing that came out of the data was that there is discrimination. You know, there's a long history of conflict between Peru and Chile, but the discrimination has really been decreasing over the past 10 to 20 years. And so I think this is a great time to intervene and I think it's a great political context to really put in protections and structures that's going to foster successful integration. That I think really is going to benefit all the immigrant populations there, as well as Chilean society. I think things like affordable housing and reallocation of resources in the healthcare sector is really just a good thing in general. So. All right. Well, thank you so much.